And when I started running, I suppose I didn't stop. And when I got the chance to go, I said I'd stay going, so I opened up.
We were only the small little fish out there, so we are, and we're trying hard to make it through. But it's hard to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Because I love this county so much, you know. And it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today, because, like, I'm heartbroken.
So I want to start off with the positive, lads. There's plenty of positives. As Brian Cody said, we're back out in the field. It's just great to be back out there. Paul Murphy, welcome to the show.
How's it going, Colm?
Good, good. I think that was the kind of general feeling from the weekend. You know, we weren't expecting too much from them. 2.5 weeks prep. Fairly good games under the circumstances.
Yeah, people just wanted to watch matches. They just want to see teams back on pitches. I don't think anyone was going to be too hard on any team, you know, the touch being out or hitting wides or anything like that. It was just good to see teams back on pitches. And really, I think what we kind of saw was more of a, if you could see what goes on behind closed doors in maybe training matches, that was kind of it. And it seemed to be the atmosphere. But it was just great to get teams back on pitches and have some sort of matches going.
Yeah, exactly. Loads of wides, Ken, which is perfectly understandable.
Yeah, look, I suppose they're only it's just pre-season and challenge games, really. The difference is we watched them on telly, you know. So that's the kind of games you do get, especially, look, when you're getting back into it. I know it's a different, obviously, with what went on over the last year. You're getting pre-season now in May, and it's a real fast run up the championship. But that's what you got. Lads are only getting back really to the swing of it. They couldn't do any hurling only the last 2 weeks, as you said. And look, the games were decent. They weren't great. You wouldn't be on the edge of your seats watching them. But still, it was great to have the hurling back and see the games and matched up around the whole country, which was good. And it's what we probably were. It feels so unnatural to watch games. Now it's great to be back and start watching matches again, you know. So it's just great to have it all back and back up and running.
Yeah, exactly. The one thing, I suppose, with hurling, because the pitches were all closed, so you can go to a wall ball, you can bang it off the gable end of your house, but you can't stick it over the bar.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And I think a lot of players, obviously, that's a lot of what we saw was just that bit of match sharpness and even the match fitness as well. So you can do lots of stuff against, you know, a ball wall and different things, but it's very hard to recreate when the ball is jumping around or when there's a lad tackling you and different things. So there was a bit of that, but it was also, you know, there was great moments there of, you could see the spark that was in players there, like Austin Gleeson's point in the Cork match where he just turned back, and individual players did show great spark at different times. But I suppose, like Ken was saying, the general play, it was understandable, and you know, that will come with a few matches, a few training sessions. That'll all come back to that.
Yeah. What about Antrim's win over Clare, Ken? That's the big story of the weekend. Like, I mean, fantastic win. It just goes to show, because I remember Cheddar here on the show a lot of years would talk about, oh, the Joe McDonagh, they should be in the Leinster Championship and they should be competing with the better teams. And that's what improves these, you know, maybe second tier teams, is competing about the better ones. But you see from Carlow, who won the Joe McDonagh, came up, drew with Galway in the league. You saw Laois beat Dublin after winning the Joe McDonagh. Now Antrim are beating Clare. Is it not better to get a bit of confidence? These teams never get confidence, Ken, because they get beaten all the time.
No, it's massive. But we were on the Monday after the Ireland column, and we're talking about the Joe McDonagh as well. But Antrim have some quality players. They have a bit of quality, of good forward, you know. And I thought it was going to be a tough game for Clare, and they played some lovely hurling, some great scores. I actually watched that game yesterday, and like, when you have quality and you have scoring forwards, like, you know, they're big men as well. The half forwards win their own ball. Lee McManus is back playing fully yesterday. He was struggling with injury at times last year, you know. So that was going to be a tough game for Clare, and we all know what's gone up in Clare. So look, it's great for them, and I tell you, they won't be easy played in any game this year at Antrim. They're full of confidence, and going up there is going to be very tough. But even what I can't wait to see is the next day. Who are Antrim playing next week? I don't know who they're playing yet. We'll see how they go after that, you know, because the confidence they get from that would be huge. Is to build on that again the next day with a performance, and then build on it for the next few weeks. And look, it's great to have Antrim at the top level, because I think they deserve to be up there. But they're good enough to be up there, judging off yesterday's performance, albeit it's early yet. But still, you have to be happy with that, you know.
Yeah, Paul Murphy answered your question, Kilkenny, and he was smiling here as he said it.
I was only smiling because I looked it up, but yeah, no, it was. Like, I mean, they were full value for their win, which is the great thing for them, and I think it shows that the few years of hurling, maybe, you know, with a few lads building up the confidence, you know, Darren Leeson's done a great job. They were very organised, you know, and they were full value for the win, which you can't, you know, you can't deny them of that. Okay, they're going to be playing Kilkenny. Part of going forward now is maybe the element of surprise was there also against Clare at the weekend. That's gone now. But I think Antrim will be happy going forward. Like, they've bet Clare full value for it. They're going to play more teams and hopefully, you know, get a few more results, which they'll be 100% belief now that they can do that. If Clare are capable of beating teams, why can't Antrim beat teams? But at the same time now, they have to turn around and go down to Kilkenny. They'll relish it because they're now playing against teams they want to play against, that they deserve to be playing against. They're going down to Nolan Park. Those players will love it because they have full belief in themselves now. But also, the element of surprise is now gone. You know, Kilkenny will be looking at that going, like, they were working hard, they were hooking, yeah, they were blocking, they got great scores, they were very fit, they were physical. So Kilkenny will be now going, we have to hit these lads fairly hard straight away. I think Antrim will enjoy that. But even if, let's say, who's to say what Antrim will come out of with the game? But if Antrim come out of competing in matches and putting it up to Tipperary's and putting it up to whoever it is, like, down the road, or the big teams, I think that's what they're looking for. Like, you know, they're looking to go down to Kilkenny and get some sort of a good result, play well for the 70 minutes. And who's to say, I won't even comment on what the scoreline might be, but another good performance back to back will stand to them big time. I think that's what they're looking for.
I don't know. Sorry, Ken, just before you come in, I admire your stamina to watch that Clare Antrim match. I was gassed out. I'd watched four games at that stage. I went, no way, I need to get away from this television.
No, I tell you, I taped the Waterford Cork game. I watched that later on. And I watched, I came back and I watched the Clare Antrim game. I enjoyed it. I'd always have a lot of time for Antrim. We went up over a couple of weekends there when we were playing, and we set up in Ballycastle. So they'd always have a little affinity to certain counties. And I'd be honest, Dunloy beat us in Ireland semi-final back in 2003, club semi-final. So I know how good they can be and what kind of hurling is in them, you know. But it was good to see the way they played. They didn't put 14 men behind the ball. They went out and tried to hurl. And when you have the likes of Kieran Clark and Conor Ford, who have that skill, and has, I remember I seen him a couple of years ago, and he was young, and I was saying, if this fella gets a good run, and you want to see these players, you know, and that's what the Antrim team want to do. They want to be seen on the big stage, and that's what you're playing hurling for, Paul, I tell you. You want to be going out and test yourself against the best players, or what's the point in putting in all the training, putting in the effort, unless you want to be tested, you know. I'm sure they can't wait for Sunday. Look, geez, it's a tough game. Kilkenny, let's be honest about it. But as we said, performance would be just as important next Sunday. The result is one thing, but the performance is massive, you know.
He's saying all the right things, Darren Gleeson. Every game is an opportunity to go out and represent your county. The county jersey is important, and we think we have instilled that again. Like, I mean, maybe some of the weaker counties don't think about that. Like, you know, like representing Kilkenny, Paul, that's what you grow up wanting to represent that jersey, whereas maybe the players in Antrim had forgotten about that.
Yeah, it's hard to know. They're passionate people. Like, as Ken said, you deal with these. Like, we've played clubs from Antrim before. I've played Antrim myself a few times. And the one thing you can't knock them for is the passion they have. You know, when they go out and play a match, they're in your face and they have full belief and they're going to give it everything regardless of what the outcome is going to be. And, you know, what Darren Gleeson said there, it's one thing to come out and just actually say that, oh, you know, take every game and we're going to seize every opportunity. But that seems to be what they did the weekend. You know, they saw Clare coming up to their own doorstep. It's an opportunity to put one over on a big team, and they took it. And OK, I know other people might be kind of flippant about the matches at the moment, that they're kind of, they maybe look like glorified challenge matches and different things. But this was a great opportunity for Antrim to go play a big team, put in a result, and they got it, you know, which is brilliant for them. So it's not just Darren Gleeson going out giving interviews and saying, listen, we need, you know, pride in the jersey and all this. What Antrim did the other day was exactly what Darren Gleeson is talking about. So he's doing something right, and it's great to see it. And look, it's a great county, and it's great to have them, you know, competing at this level again. It was probably the victory of the weekend, really.
Waterford would have been something similar, like when we kind of started out maybe back in the mid-90s, late-90s, that we were trying to break into the top bracket, you know. So I can see where Darren Gleeson is coming from and where the players are coming from. You have to have, we would have had probably, there was a perception about us that Mount Sion, Ballygun or different clubs that we couldn't get on, and we had to kind of gel that all together to have pride in the jersey, because if you don't have it, you won't compete. Because as you said, Colin, it's easy, I won't say easy, but when you're from Kilkenny or from Tip, that's all you want to do was go on and pay for that jersey, because you know you have a chance every year. When you came from the likes of Waterford at the time, or Antrim now, you have to really, that has to be instilled into you, you know. So it's huge for them, and it's a great start, you know. So
yeah, no, it's a great start. I was going to say, we're going to talk to their captain, Conor McCann, for Thursday's show. They have a media manager now, so we know they're coming up in the world. Yeah. The big Clare. And now you have to book an interview. So listen, they have to take a step up.
Exactly. Right,
so enough of this positivity about the good games, about Antrim, about all that stuff, because I'm known to be a little bit negative from time to time. What is the story of this abomination, Paul, of an advantage rule?
Yeah, I suppose the first indications from the weekend is that it's going to slow things down a fair bit. Look, the referees can only do what's in front of them. They can only play the way that the rules are telling them to play it. I had no problem with the advantage rule the way it was before. You kind of see something that jumped into my mind was that, you know, if you watch Aussie rules, a player makes a mark and he has a chance to run on if he wants, or he'll just stand there and take the mark. I mean, very similar for me with what would work with the hurling rule. And what seemed to be kind of unofficially happening over the years anyway was a player, if he was fouled and if he felt he was fouled, everybody could see he's been fouled. And if he just stopped, well, he's getting the free anyway, or the referee would let it on. But now the referee has to stop it, you know, because the free is the advantage. Doesn't allow for a free-flowing game, and I think we got the first indication of that over the weekend in different matches, that at least it was consistent across matches, and we could see that, okay, it's slowing things down here a small bit. And, you know, that wasn't down to referees, or it wasn't down to players. That's just the rule that's in place, and it just seemed to slow things down a small bit.
Definitely slows it down. And one thing I've learned from doing this show for the last 5 years is that the flow of the game is very important to hurling people. This is like, there's nothing else you mess with other than the flow of the game.
No.
Do not mess. And like, I was thinking, Ken, like, you were playing centre back. Like, I mean, you catch a good ball, someone's pawing out of you, you break free, and now you're out into open space, and now you can do something. Like, you don't want to go back for that free.
No, and that's the whole game. To me, that's what made hurling. And look, to be honest, we have to be very careful, because the way the game has evolved or changed over the last few years, there's a lot less of that, say, even like the Tommy Welch grabbing a ball and wink back, first and forward, putting it over. That's not in the game anymore. There's a lot of, you have to find a man 20 yards ahead of you, the pop pass. So getting the crowd, even there's obviously no crowd there at the moment, but getting that crowd involved in the game was a massive part of hurling. The kind of intensity, the speed of it. And now, to me, it's slowed down, even in the style, the way a lot of teams are playing, and this new rule. Like, it don't make sense. I don't know who would actually come up and say, right, that's a good idea for the game of hurling, because it's totally alien to what the game should be, of moving at pace, lads taking the tackle. It's the physicality of the game is what we love, especially come the summer when players are up to that kind of level of fitness. They can burst through players and take it on. And I think it's madness that we're trying to take this out of the game as well, because I said we've lost that crowd getting involved. I know people might say if you caught a ball years ago, you drive it up. Paul used to do it a lot. You drive it up 100 yards. You wouldn't care where it went, but that got the crowd involved. That's kind of gone out of the game now, because the minute you get up, you have to find somebody. You have to find somebody in front of you, and now you're taking that and the advantage rule out of it. I think it's madness. I think it's absolutely nonsense, to be honest with you.
Are they taking the Warrior game away from you, Paul?
Yeah, like exactly what Ken said there. Like often when I see these rules coming in, I look at it and I say, is that going to dilute the game now? Like part of one of the things that we obviously pride ourselves on is the physicality of the game, and that, you know, players are allowed to run into each other and be it accidental. And look, hurls are going to go astray, and that's fine. And no player will give out about that. Okay, lads in the stand might shout and try and get a free when it happens. But if you were to go by the letter of the law and try and bring it down, break it down constantly the whole time, that any little flick or any catch or any small bit of a tug, that's it, done, it's a free. You know, we're going to dilute it down to nothing, and it won't be a physical game after that. And that's something I'd be concerned about, because like Ken said, that's the stuff that we're not here also to make it just a crowd sport and a spectator sport, but that's what makes it great. You know, when a player can run through, take a tackle, and you think of all the great scores that have been over the years, if you actually look back at them and see the little flicks, you know, like the likes of Kieran Carey's point, you know, and all these different things, if you actually look back at these things and see how many little flicks and slaps and hooks and blocks and all these things that were going in, if the new rules were put into that, would that have stopped? Would those scores have been, you know, called back and a free given? So I kind of look at it in that way, and you're kind of thinking, hopefully we're not going down this route of to be correct in every decision, as opposed to let the game flow.
Yeah, yeah, no, I completely. The one thing annoys me, and the reason I use it for the halfback line with you, Ken, is when they say the free is the advantage, and sometimes it drives me mad watching a rugby match, and there's a penalty in front of the post, and the team plays on, and next minute they throw it out to a winger who loses it, and now they've lost the advantage. It's like, why didn't you just kick the ball, you know, drop it, knock it on?
Yeah,
so I kind of understand a forward, Ken. You know, the game is let flow on a bit, and there's a guaranteed point that you could knock over, and the play moves on and nothing comes of it. And that's a bit of a disadvantage for the attacking team. But we saw loads of examples of it coming from the half-back line, and they're not guaranteed frees in any way.
No. And look, that's what makes our game enjoyable. And look, obviously, look, what are we trying to become? We'd want to be another rugby because we have to be something different. We'd want to every single play broken down, or else we'd be just sitting there not getting excited. And I think that's what a part of our matches are over all the years. You're getting excited watching. You can't leave your seat. You can't go out to get a cup of tea. You can't go get, if you're out watching a game, to get a beer because you miss some. Where at times at the moment, you can do that now and come back in and what happened? It was a free brought back. Or, you know, that's the way to get, we have to be very careful because that's what made our game so unique, you know. And I don't know, look, as you said, I know it can go against you at times, that advantage when you have an easy free, maybe 20, 30 yards out and you go for it. But still, you have to have common sense. But the common sense has been taken out of the referee's hands now. He has to abide by the law, you know. And it's going to be very awkward over the next few weeks how they're going to pan out or how it's going to work, you know. So we could be talking about this a lot more in the next few weeks, you know.
One thing to do which might not make us panic is the referees. Remember Tony Kelly got sent off for the head high kind of tackle and they said they were clamping down on this, and then they kind of eased off it a little bit until Richie got it in the All-Ireland final.
Yeah.
But maybe the first game of a league, they usually try to lay down a marker maybe on these things.
Yeah, they at least try, and I'd imagine the referees are all, you know, they're obviously all talking to each other, and they want to say, look, well, we want to at least see consistency across the board that we're all singing from the same hymn sheet. So look, that's understandable, and the referees can only do what they're being told to do anyway. But you know, like going back even what the Ken was saying there, like it is a kind of party is kind of worried about where they're going. I think going back, we're talking about the advantage. Let it down to the player. Like the referee can put the hand up, and we can all see it, the hand up, that there's a free being given. And if the player plays on and it turns out to be the wrong decision, okay, that's the player's fault, and that's a decision that the players have to make.
He could drop the ball if he wanted.
Yeah, do you know, he could just stop and come back and let the free be the free.
Yeah.
And if it's just a bad decision then by the player, if he tries to play on and goes for the goal, let's say, but actually there was a point on, whatever. And I don't think anyone, that's human error, and I don't think anyone would complain that that was the situation we were in, where referee puts the hand up, 2 or 3 seconds goes, okay, he's playing on, that's it, we're going to play on. And now the ball trickles wide or whatever, and you go, geez, he should have taken the free. Well, that's the player's problem then.
Right, yeah.
And that will allow for the you know, the freedom of play, the bit of flow, without having to break it down into, okay, that's a free, we're taking the free, that's a free, and we're going to slow it down a bit too much then.
Yeah. Nobody was asking for this. I want to move off it because you could talk about this the whole show. No one even asked for this. Like, yeah, I remember.
Yeah, I don't know where this came from. Yeah. I don't know where it came from. Was there a need for it, Jay?
Yeah. What about, it seemed to affect Limerick, lads. The free count in the Limerick tip game was 21-13. Now, John Kiley was interviewed after. He took a few off tip. He said it was 21-10, which is, normal enough. Yeah. Like, I don't know. Like, Ken, we talked last year about how Limerick, like, it's almost like Gaelic football. They'll put hands on you, maybe around your hips. They'll slow you down. They'll make sure, you know, you're not getting away with that ball. And it became a bit of a feature of their play. Like, if referees are getting whistle happy from the halfback line and, you know, different little frees, will they be punished more? Will they find that new rule harder because, they tend to you know, get bodies in the way and stop players, whether it's illegal or legal is kind of borderline.
It is borderline, but I think that's what makes that Limerick team at the moment. It made the Kilkenny team, the pub is on, the playing on the edge and the way they play. And I don't think this Limerick team would be the same Limerick team without that way they play and how physically hard they go into the tackle. Look, sometimes they go over the top. It can be perceived from a different referee whether it's a foul or not. They get hands in, but that's how they play. And as you said, I think this, the new format or the new rule might affect them. But as you said, it could be just the first game in the league as well. The referees are told to really clamp down on it, you know. And as well as that, you're only back training, you're only back doing the tackling drills, you're only back training physically against one another. You can do all the training individually as you want, as Paul said, in the ball alley, do the run and do the weights. But it's that tackling. And that takes training as well, you know. That takes that few weeks of consistently doing it, to really get up to the speed of not fouling and trying to do it the best you can, you know. Look, and it is on the edge, and we've said it numerous times over the last couple of years, it is on the edge, but if I was John Kiley, I wouldn't take that out of the team. I don't think you will take it out of the certain players that we're talking about, because I think that's what makes them. But you still have to try, you still have to do it legally as much as possibly you can to keep in the rules, you know. Or if it's a free, it's a free, you know.
Yeah, exactly. What's your verdict on their jerseys, Paul? I got getting a little bit dizzy looking at them, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, I liked them. Now, I saw a few people saying about that the numbers were a bit hard to pick out in the back, but no, I thought it was something different. I think I still prefer the traditional green jersey, but I see what they're doing. Like, I mean, obviously 100 years since they won the first Liam McCarthy. So, yeah, look, they're nice. I have no real problems with them. I don't have any real problems with the numbers on the back, because I think you kind of know the players anyway from their helmets and from just, you know, the general.
Yeah, I know their players are. What's with the dirt on the shoulders? It's like they've all fallen or something. Like that.
Yeah, I didn't know what that was.
Must be something in the warm up. But even just actually going back to what they're saying, like I was kind of laughing when I heard that people were saying, "Oh, Limerick are playing on the edge." I was kind of saying, "This sounds all a bit familiar now to me." To be honest, that I think, look, Limerick at the moment are dealing with the tag of being champions. Like, obviously they were going through probably a honeymoon period there of, you know, they were after winning the All Ireland a few years ago, and now they've had a second All Ireland, and now maybe kind of people are starting to, you know, the crowd is starting to turn a small bit and say,
"Pick things out." Yeah.
Yeah, but if you're champions, I think if you look at any team that's been champions over any years, you know, they will play on the edge. You're going to try and squeeze every inch out of any area you can. And like Ken was saying, John Kiely won't be trying to talk this out of his players, because his players are playing right up on the edge. They're, you know, it's a fine line. They're not being dirty by any means. Like, you know, and I think, to be fair, the other day, a lot of the frees were probably justified. Okay, one or two, but you're always going to have one or two that could be hit or miss. But, you know, they probably did foul quite a bit. But wouldn't be too worried about it. John Kiely certainly isn't going to stop it, because it shows that the players are being aggressive. And I think if you look, Cheddar Plunkett probably wanted his boys to put a hand on the Wexford boys a small bit more, yeah, the weekend. So if my team are going out and they're fouling this early stage in the year, I'm not concerned about it. I'm liking the aggression. And if Anton, like Ken was saying, you get into the training matches and lads will just time it a small bit better, get the flicks in, and you know, you'll come down in the numbers in that way.
Yeah. Jeez, that last Wexford goal you reminded me of, it was like Piggy in the middle there, wasn't it? Lads running around, and then Rory O'Connor strolling through.
Yeah.
I know, like, it was the same in the Waterford Cork game. The last 10 minutes didn't seem like a competitive game at all, but I don't know. I'd left that Laois Wexford game when there was 7 in it and went, jeez, that'll be all right. And I get home and they've lost by 19.
Yeah.
It's like, what the hell's after happening? Here, what did you make of the sin bin in that game, Ken? Lee Clear sin bin, the first sin bin on Rory O'Connor. Looked clear cut enough to me, Ken. That's exactly why the rule is brought in.
I think so. But look, is the rule meant to be inside the 21, or it was just on the edge. No, it was. That was clear cut, you know. I think that's what the rule was brought in for. It's just you need every referee to be consistent on it. There was a prime example in the Antrim Clare game as well. Aaron Shanahan caught a ball in the second half and was brought down the exact same way. Just cynically brought down, you know. So, look, once the referee sticked up, but look, there's going to be, and this is where I'd have not a problem with it. It's just we have to manage this rule right as well, because do you remember a couple of years ago the helmet rule was brought in? If you pull the helmet off a player, you're obviously sent off. But obviously in certain tackles, your hand or might touch a helmet, and then fellas were getting penalised for that. So, I think a tackle inside the 21 on a player running through has to be a tackle, but a cynical foul has to be a cynical foul. Then, do you know where I'm coming from? So, I think we have to be very careful on how the refs, once they're consistent in doing that. And I thought even Prunty's tackle on was it Patrick Horgan.
Yeah.
That to me, that was an honest effort of getting back at him. He was after slipping inside him. With a nice touchdown. So Prunty went back and he kind of tripped over his legs, and I was glad to see that wasn't deemed a cynical foul. And but no, so we have to be very just, and these things happen so fast and at so much pace. It's going to be tough on the ref, but a blind man can see it was a cynical foul when someone's going through for a goal on 21. I think it's that will work okay. I think, you know, we'll cut out as we said the foul, and that's just purely just drag someone down.
Yeah, and even like you were saying there, Ken, I don't know if you even copped it. It doesn't say anything actually about cynical fouling within the rule itself. You know, so it's if you're to go by the letter of the law, and oftentimes we hear this in analysis, you say, well, by the letter of the law, that is a sending off, or that is. So, you know, if a trip is accidental or whatever, well, by the letter of the law, it's actually still the same thing. So this was brought in for the purpose of get rid of cynical fouling. So yesterday is a prime example. You know, Laois Blair pulled him down, and it was probably the best example of a cynical foul.
Yeah.
But let's say a ball is dropping down, I go to get it, Ken McGrath runs past me and I trip him up. Well, by the letter of the law, I was going for the ball, but I did trip him up, and now it's a penalty. And I think that's where people are also a little bit kind of, okay, are we going to go down the road now of, you know, cutting hairs or splitting hairs?
Cynical would be on purpose. So accidental would, you know, make it not cynical.
But it doesn't,
you know,
refer to cynical fouling within the rules.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
you're kind of saying that it's not just cynical foul. Not that you're saying that. You're hoping that referees will interpret it as it's the cynical foul. But 6 months down the line, a year down the line, are we going to look and say, well, actually, the rule says if it's a trip. So if it's an accidental trip or if a hurl gets caught between someone's legs, that's what I'm wondering. Are we going to go down that route? If it says cynical fouling, 100%, we've made the reference to it and you know, everyone understands it. But it doesn't say it. So we're kind of in the grey area now of, will people start pleading for him now if it's a trip? Well, it's a trip. It says nothing about cynical fouling in the rules.
Yeah, what I don't like about it is the one, I completely agree on Prunty, is that was it was accidental, so it probably wasn't cynical, but I'll have a look at that, Paul. But Gerard Walsh is on Shanahan. That was a cynical foul. That was a pull down, right? But the reason that wasn't given as the penalty and the sin bin is because there was another player inside. So Ken, the referee would have said this wasn't a goal. It has to stop a clear goal scoring opportunity. Now, That was never the case.
How do you judge that?
And that was never the case for a penalty. If it's a foul in the area, it's a foul in the area. There might not even be a goal on it. You just fouled him in the area.
Exactly. But was Rory O'Connor last man? Was that the last defender as well?
He dived at him.
But even look at, there's examples there as well of, you know, we're talking of clear goal scoring opportunities. We played Cork in 2019 and Patrick Corgan scored 3 goals that day. And I don't think any of the goals was it a clear cut opportunity? No, he was just good enough to get the ball, take on 2 or 3 fellas and stick the ball in the net. And, you know, I think it was one of his last goals. He caught a ball over Hugh Lawler, and I think Joey Holden was standing there at the same time, or Paddy Deegan or someone. If Hugh Lawler, let's say I put the rule at the moment now into that, if Hugh Lawler pulled him down there, it's not a clear goal scoring opportunity because there's another defender back. But Patrick Horgan's a good enough player to go and stick that ball in the net. So how do we define? Is it just literally the circumstance?
I think that's great. It's not soccer, lads. It is like clear goal and score chance in soccer is one-on-one with the keeper, maybe, or past the last defender. This is horrible. You hit a ball from 30 yards.
Yeah.
Past 3 or 4 different defenders. And if you have a gap of a metre there and you're a decent hurler, you're a good forward like Patrick Horgan, that's a great chance for you. That's a clear goal and chance for him.
Yeah.
If there's 3 defenders in front of him, if you have that metre to the post, that's a goal. Do you know what I'm saying? So I don't know where some of his decisions are coming from, or how are you going to define that? Because a good forward, he don't need that space. He'd have 10 defenders in front of him, and if that gap is there, it's a goal-scoring chance, you know?
That's the thing. The rule is if a player with a goal-scoring opportunity either inside the 20-metre line or the semicircle arc that extends from the 20-metre line is pulled down, tripped or struck with a hurley in a careless manner, then a penalty will be awarded. And the yellow card, you're right, it doesn't say anything about cynical, it doesn't say anything about deliberate. So careless, I suppose. Yeah, listen, it is a difficult one. It definitely is a difficult one. I thought that, Gerard Walsh's one and Shanahan, that probably would have been one. But anyways, listen, that's for referees to worry about. Here's another one, Paul, I wanted to ask about you. And this is Limerick's diagonal ball into the forwards. Now, it didn't work too well for him the other night. Seamus Flanagan had worked a few early on.
Yeah.
But Seamus Flanagan was on this show just before Christmas. And he was just blatantly, is admitting, you know, when Dermot Burns gets it, we're looking in the other corner. And when Kyle Hayes gets it, we're looking in the other corner. And he actually goes in the warm up with these players before, like everybody knew this, it's not like Seamus was revealing anything, but in the warm up he'll practice with either one or the other, and you know, just practice, like, as a cornerback, like, can you read these now in year 3 of Limerick doing this, or is the movement inside so good that for some reason defenders can't?
What Limerick are good at, and they've actually, I'm not going to say they invented it, but certainly something that they do, so they'll pull in around the 16 yard box, let's say, or the 14 yard box, whatever you want to call it, and they'll all pool together and they'll just break from there. So what you have now is acres of space all around. They won't stand in the 13, 14, 15. They'll just stand pooling together, and they all look completely disinterested in the ball. They're not looking. But what they know, once a halfback gets it, then they can break. And 2 might break right, 1 might break left. And that's what they do.
Right.
We played him in Turles there a few years ago, and it was the first time I encountered it. And if you're marking Graham Mulcahy and he runs, you can't outrun Graham Mulcahy. The best you can do is match him for pace. Same with Seamus Flanagan, Peter Casey. They're fast players. Aaron Gillan, they're all the same. So as long as they get a yard or two ahead of you, they're going, and that's all they need. Now, the other side of it is what we found also worked, even, let's say, 2019, was that we just stood on the outside. So if these players
on the outside
to bring
of
in,
the bunch,
we just stand on the outside of the bunch.
Yeah.
Don't get dragged in, because let's say if you're following Peter Casey, and Peter Casey is on the right and he's breaks left, and you now have run across, and now you're suddenly, Aaron Gillan has come across in front of you. Whereas if you just stay right, Aaron Gillan goes right, you go right, or 2 lads go right, and then suddenly now you're now out in front, because if you're reacting to them, it's very hard. They're all very fast players, you know. So, I mean, one thing I found was, 2019 semi-final, I was on Peter Casey, and you know it was brilliant, and I really admired him for it. But I'd watched the games prior to it, and I was looking at how was he breaking for the ball, and he would do a great impression of just basically walking, like he doesn't care where the ball is, was, and he's gone. Then he just runs. But I suppose if I hadn't looked at him before the match, I would have just went, "Oh, he's not interested in the ball." But
you switch off.
But yeah, the whole time I was standing there, I was going, "This fella is about to break, and he's going to go 90 miles an hour, and all I need to do is just get there and get the flick." But even at that, even being that prepared, it's still actually very hard, because if you're in a foot race with Seamus Flanagan, it's like being in a foot race with Shamie Callanan or Joe Canning or whoever. It's you know, once they get there, you're still dealing with a man who's 6'1" or whatever, and strong person. Like, they're going to get the ball in the hand straight away, so all they want is the yard. So it does still work for them, and I think Seamus Flanagan is saying it straight out, because he knows that if he breaks, very few defenders will still compete with him.
What do you think, Ken?
Yeah, it's so hard to deal with that. I know Paul was saying of, like, even when they come into the centre and they bunch and break, and it's picking up that, they say, the certain side you're going to, but that is hard to defend, Paul, isn't it? Like, you know, because you lose him for a metre and he's gone. And then that's when the quality of the hurling comes in. Like, you see all Shamie Flanagan, he only gets the same point every time. Out on the, say, the right corner forward, ball in front, cross off the left, off the back foot, off the left. He only gets the same point every time.
Yeah.
I think even if he gets it, and there's where I find some defenders can be a bit naive there. Yeah, you have to really shepherd him out to the right and take our chances on that. I think leaving him come back in to the left, and I think defenders are too slow in reacting that way to Shamie Flanagan, especially because he comes back into the left knee every time, and it's off the back foot, and the striking is super. And I think he had a great second half of last season. He seems to be full of confidence, you know, the consistency in his striking and his movement, but it all comes from that diagonal ball. And the thing you'd have to kind of, like, who you'd have to praise in all that would be Kyle Hayes and Dermot Burns, because their quality of ball is so good into him. And it's how you stop that as well before it goes in would probably get you more success. But Limerick, I think, as you said, Colm and Paul were saying, 3 years into playing a certain way, you would be hoping, especially with what the modern techniques and the modern things that the teams have available to them with video analysis and everything, they can pinpoint how this is happening and try and come up with something a bit different than what other teams are doing. Because to leave him out in front, you get the ball, you're finished, really, you know. Because, and the one thing Limerick, they don't do as much, and if they did bring it into the game, if they get runners straight through the middle of Shamie Flanagan there, there's goal chances on, you know. And they don't do that as much as probably as they could. And if they bring that into the game, like, you know, we all know that they won't take stopping, but if they bring that into it, Jesus.
And
as a defender,
they don't have to, like you're saying, Ken, they don't, like, at the moment Seamus Flanagan breaks out, he gets the ball, he has one look and he has a chance to strike it. But like you said, if he decides, okay, Ronan Maher's on my back here, and he turns back, you now have Garrod Hegarty, Kyle Hayes, he's barreling through the centre, because they also have the space now created by them stepping out of the half forward line, and now they're sprinting back through. And you see, like, Garrod Hegarty, you're not going to stop these lads either. So they have the two options of, if you're right up on him and he decides, right, I'm not going for the score, he turns back out, and now you have Tom Morrissey and these lads coming sprinting through into that space. So it's a kind of a win-win in many ways. And I saw a small bit of tip yesterday, especially with the puckouts actually sitting right back. The only way to actually counteract it is get the half back line, don't go out to the 65, pull it back, midfield pull back, half back line pull back. It's not playing sweep or anything, it's just blocking out that space where they can actually pop that ball into.
Everyone move back a line, bar the full back line. But I'm really interested in this though, Paul. Like, I mean, I can imagine you as a full back line with Kilkenny just going, right, this is what they do, and you're talking amongst each other and you're talking it out, you know, just with the management or whatever. Like, if you stand on the outside of them, right?
Yeah.
So say you're Mark and Graham Mulcahy. So you stand on the outside and say, listen, it's with Barry Nash, left half back, it's coming this side.
Yeah.
But then Graham Mulcahy will sprint towards Nash potentially and get one.
Yeah.
Like, do you need to pawn? You need to pawn Mulcahy off to the fella who's standing on the outside. The other, you actually don't man mark your man.
You're
almost zonally picking up whoever breaks out towards you. Is that?
Yeah. One of the times I found it worked really well was in the second half against Cork in 2019. There was one or two balls that flew around. I can't remember who I was on. I think I might have been on Seamus Harnady at the time, and there was a mix-up in balls between myself and Joey Holden. Both of us were actually out in the half-back line at this stage. I was following, I think, Seamus Harnady at the time, or Conor Lehan or someone. And there was a little break in play, and I ran over to Joey Holden. I said, what did you say there? And he said, listen, they're just breaking left and right and creating space. I'll go left, you stay right.
Yeah.
And so I went, grand. Next ball that came down, both of the Cork players broke left and Joey went left and I stayed right. And what happened was, if I had gone right, that ball would have just cruised into the corner forward. But it now turned out to be a ball that was just poked straight into my hand. So that's what basically I think teams are starting to see that will work, and it's the way to counteract it then is that, but again at the same time it's still a fine line, because if you stay right and two players go left and you have one lad on two players now and Keane Lynch has the ball in his hand and he has to pick between Gerard Hegarty or Tom Morrissey one on one with a player, or two on one should I say, that's also the line you're running there, because you're going, if that other player gets the head up and doesn't actually just strike the ball into space, well now he's just going to pick out one player and it's a 2-on-1 situation.
But that's obviously the danger of it, but the whole idea of this movement, Ken, is to be dragging lads out of their positions where they don't want to be, whereas if you just stay in your positions and let them run around, someone will end up running towards you.
It's what you're told as well, it's what you kind of naturally do, and it's what you're told from a very young age to move as a forward. And yeah, you have to move to create space, move to get on ball. And anytime you're having a kind of lull in your career or bad few weeks, I remember as a forward, it was lack of movement. And as the movement and the work rate would get you on that ball. Kilkenny, I'll be honest, we're always good at doing this. The half-back line, you have Tommy, Brian Hogan and JJ. They never really followed the runners either. A lot of teams was to break that half-back line dominance. And you'd have centre-forwards, wing-forwards, all criss-crossing. The lads just leave them come over. Now, I know it's an easier probably... job to deal with the half back line than it is in the full forward line, because the risk wouldn't be as there as it is in the full forward line. But that's what JJ and Tommy do, and the lads leave the half forward come over, and you're on a move and start with them. Then, if you know what I mean, you're not kind of standing still and trying to go to catch them. You're getting them on the move, and that's where you can defend. And Kilkenny were always good at doing that. And look, the movement is everything in the game. It's everything, and it always will be. And that's where. Limerick at the moment are so good at doing it. If you think even on Saturday you're missing Galan, missing Mulcahy, you know, missing Keane Lynch when he came on the second half, and they're probably three, especially Galan and Keane Lynch, two of your best forwards. Gerard Hegarty came on as well, and they're some machine, and every one of them are sticking to exactly what they have to do. But the discipline, I think, as a especially in the full back line, of having to do what Paul is saying there, that is huge. If you switch off at all, even for if you switch off twice in a 70-minute game, that the game could be over, you know. So it is a very risky, but yeah, it's the only way of probably combating it, you know.
Yeah, it probably is. Come on, what about Kieran Doyle's point, lads? This fella thought he was playing rounders.
Some score.
That was brilliant. It was brilliant to see it. But you know what? There was lots of things. Obviously, I think it was David Lennon popped the ball out to him, and I saw a few lads saying, "God, why don't we see more of this?" Well, probably don't see more of it, because the ball that was popped out to him was a nice lobbing ball, like you throw it up for yourself. Some hand passes at the moment, obviously, are fairly thrown with a fair bit of speed behind them, and you can't do it. But you know, everything sat up nicely for him. But it also, I mean, that's not to take away from it, it was just great skill, it was great instinct as well, that he just said, right, going to strike this one over the bar. Great balance out of him as well. But it was great. It just seemed to be that he was just nice and relaxed, ball popped out, slap it over the bar, and he just ran away from it. The main thing is, run away from a point when you know it's going over like that, it just makes it look a bit better. But no, it was great bit of skill.
I had in my head you did something like that in the 2002 Munster final, Ken, something on those lines of whacking over a ball
Not as good as that, Neil Colum. I think Seamus Prendergast caught a ball and he hand passed it up here. I just flicked it up off the hurley and put it over without catching it. I'll be honest, I would do that no problem. Back then, I just loved doing that. It was kind of a faster way of doing it. If you flick it up right away, it was basically a point, you know. But no, it was some score. Like the catch so sweetly, the stuff you're probably trying in training. That's where so many games could be a bit over this weekend. There are people trying things that you normally might not always try, you know. So it was a brilliant score and he caught it lovely. I got a couple over in Gaelic Park there a good few years ago and I got 2 points like it. And back then, and you couldn't even order the same weekend, Colin. Remember, you were playing a game over, and back then Gaelic Park was dangerous enough, remember? So I remember that I got 2 points at the volley and I decided to stop doing that now in the second half.
I wanted to enjoy
the rest of my break over there.
Is that where you lost the teeth?
No, Jesus, that wasn't valid slow, but I remember the ball. If it pops up like that to you, I'll be honest, at times your natural instinct kicks in and it's probably the easiest thing to do. Now, that was some score, don't get me wrong, because that was so far out and you had the curl of the left over, probably the wrong direction for a curl as well. So it was a brilliant, brilliant score, you know.
And just to finish up on it, the great thing about the score was if he caught that, there was a man going to bottle him up.
Yeah.
So like it was an element of showboating, but also the practical thing to do.
It served its purpose completely, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So fair play to Kieran. Go on, Ken.
Yeah. No, exactly. Sometimes it might look, oh, that was crazy. No, it was the right thing to do, because it popped up so nice to him and he would have been hooked or blocked or crowded out, you know. So no, it was brilliant.
Yeah, okay, brilliant. Great. Fair play to Kieran Doyle for that. Right, we'll come back and we'll have a look at one or two of the matches.
after the match with you know, with Marty Morrissey and the Marty squad. And you know, the big thing for me yesterday with Clare versus Galway was,
hang on, did you ask permission to do the Marty squad there?
Well, I didn't but I was only a special guest. Last Thursday you asked me the same question when I started Bubbles, and I said yes on the Marty squad, because yes, I would have started Bubbles for that game yesterday. That was the first I heard of Johnny King coming back with the Galway squad. You know, I was asked just in the Marty squad.
Here, Damien, are you getting paid for Marty squad jokes on our show here?
That's three.
No, I do that completely voluntarily.
He hits it! He hits it! It's over the bar! Oh, holy Moses! What a match!
Move away from the messing there, lads, right? We have a serious show to do here, right?
All right, so we went way over time on that last section. So we're going to do a performance of the weekend and we'll talk about the matches all in the same slot. So first nomination for performance of the weekend was Mossy Keown. Keohan, yeah, the commentator on Air Sport was calling him. I don't know, is Keown, surely, is it?
Yeah, Keown.
Mossy,
yeah.
Keown, yeah. No, it's Keohan. Brian, yeah. Cody said after the game, he had a great game. He put the work in. He put the effort in. He was there winning balls. You thought he was out on his feet, but he was gone again. He's one of those great, honest players. 1-4 is a huge contribution. 1-4 is a huge contribution. And he is one of those honest players. And he does look like he's wrecked half the time. Like, yeah. Brian Cody just had a spot on there.
Yeah, Mossy looks like he's wrecked the whole time. I don't know what he does. And if you actually see him in person, like, he's a brilliant athlete. And he's cut from stone altogether. So obviously, Liam, his father, was great cornerback for Kilkenny years ago, obviously. But no, Mossy is, I don't know whether it's a game he's playing where he looks like he's out on his feet the whole time and he can just go for the 70 minutes no problem. He took the goal really well, which is brilliant to see as well. He was kind of just popping up, which is a great characteristic to have in a forward. He just seemed to pop up in these places, these scrappy balls pop up, get them over the bar, back out and have a look around, and he gets a few nice few kind of flicks and different things, which obviously Brian will like. But look, the goal was great because two Dublin backs on him. He kept going. He had the chance probably to be fouled, but he just pushed for the goal and was rewarded. It'll do his confidence a nice bit of good. Probably wouldn't be a natural goal scorer, he'd maybe say himself. Brilliant half forward, great at getting points. So yeah, he was rewarded, and it was a great performance out of him, which he fully deserved.
Well, what did you make of the game in general? It probably wasn't a 5-point win in the end. It was fairly evenly contested until the last maybe 10 minutes when Kilkenny pulled away after that goal maybe.
Yeah, even look, Dublin took off Donal Burke as well, so I mean that was probably the big thing. They hit, I think, three wides from frees after that, which would have completely changed the complexity of the game, really, or the complexion of the game. But no, it wasn't, and I don't think either team would be too concerned about it either. Kilkenny just put the bit of distance between them towards the end and just kept that, which was good to see. But obviously, I think, you look, if Dublin had tapped over them frees, it would have changed the whole setup. It probably wasn't a 5-point win. It probably might have been a point win or a 2-point win, really.
Well, Donal Burke made the balls of rising one of them, Ken, didn't he? You don't often see that. That would be like something I would do.
No.
And then he's right, Ronan Hayes missed one then Sutcliffe tried one, and then they brought David Tracy on then when the game was over to take over the frees, which kind of was a bit of a mess.
Yeah, terrible. No, look, that's what happens. I'll be honest, as we were saying early on, the teams have to kind of take this and be glorified challenge games. They have to, because championship is in 7 weeks' time, you know. And I always, when I was playing or involved in any teams, to me, a challenge game was always judged in the first 45, 50 minutes. After that, then you're just kind of petered out a bit, you know. Now, obviously, look, things are on telly. You have to be careful. You don't want to peter out too much. But I'd always judge performance in a challenge game, especially see how lads went in that 50 minutes, because I always felt after that it became a bit farcical and things were all over the place a bit, you know. So I think, look, and Paul would tell you, like, Parnell Park is a tough place to go. Like, it's tight. There's not much space up there, you know, and it's a hard place to get a win. And if you come out and score 120, it wasn't huge scoring for nowadays, but it was still a great win for Kilkenny, and they'd be happy enough to move on. But as you said, I think a catastrophic defeat, you're happy with the performance, you know, and that's what I think teams have to kind of go on that, really.
JJ Delaney was doing the Air punditry, and he was talking about Kilkenny's short puckouts and a little bit of short style. He said it has Conor Phelan stamp all over it. What's the insight there, Paul? I hadn't heard of Conor Phelan. He's, presume, he's a coach in there.
Yeah, Conor used to hurl for Kilkenny a good few years ago.
That Conor Phelan.
So I wouldn't know Conor's style that way now. JJ might know a small bit more. JJ would have hurled with him. I didn't hurl with Conor myself now. But look, I suppose the short puckout, whether people like it or not, it has to be in the game at the moment, because if you just keep pucking long balls down, then the opposition will just set up and they'll just sit back because they know you're not going to hit sharp puckouts. You have to at least have the sharp puckout to draw, to make sure that, okay, the full forward isn't going to stray too far back or far away from the full back line. Likewise then, that's the knock-on. It's the domino effect.
Yeah,
on the pitch.
They're all so moving back a line.
It's like what we're saying against Limerick, that you have to sit back. Tipperary will want to sit back or whoever's playing will want to sit back. If you don't take sharp puckouts, teams will just sit back against you and they'll crowd it out. And now suddenly TJ Reid has 10 players around him. So you have to be good at not only take them, but you have to also be good at them so that the other team will go, I have to step up on him now because Hugh Lawler's going to get the ball. And Kilkenny probably yesterday was the best game, you know, day or we have played where they've used the sharp puckout and used it very effectively. And they were very calm also when they were using it. And I think actually reaped a few, you know, reaped a bit of rewards off using it. So, yeah, whatever Conor Feeling is doing, it's working. If it is Conor, it's implementing it, but it's working. And, it was a good kind of tool to their belt yesterday.
When you're getting that sharp puckout, though, right, as a cornerback, what if the man doesn't really run to you then? You know, like he stays kind of dropping off you. You're facing then what the goalkeeper was facing.
Yeah, well, that's fair enough.
Is that the game of cat and mouse that kind of goes on?
Yeah, but the other side of it is then, if the man stays off me and he goes, grand, well, I'm now stepping up towards the 45. You're going to land it on the edge of the box now at this age, where the keeper is just too far away to actually do that.
Right.
You'd also be looking for other players just to actually come looking for you. As the full back line, if you get the ball there, I think a full back is also very aware that, listen, I'm the last line defence here. If I do drop it, they'll want to make a good decision. Whereas if you drop it at half back or midfield, well, the ball is just out in a fray now. But you might be dropping on the 21 if you're a full back. So a full back line, they want options, first of all. They want lads to come looking for the ball. If a team is static and there's no options, well, now the full back line is just going to launch it on. And you'll hear teams saying that in their preparation if you're in a dressing room. Teams will say, look, let the cornerbacks have it, because generally, and I'm happy to say it as a cornerback,
traditionally yeah,
the cornerback probably isn't going to do a huge amount with it. Like, and I have no problem saying that. Whereas if Ken McGrath gets it at centre back, he's probably going to put it over the bar. So usually teams will just say, yeah, let the cornerback have it. It's not dangerous when it's there.
Yeah, thankfully, Ken, it's never been said to me when I had the ball, let him have it. I think it's one of the worst insults you could ever get on a field.
Yeah, I think when I was getting older, I was saying, leave him have it. But look, the only thing is, I would find, and I just where I, and I suppose, look, at the cynical in me, I'd be saying, what? Every team is trying to play the same way here, you know? I don't know if every team is comfortable in playing that way, but to me, a lot of teams are trying to do the same thing, pass the ball to the cornerback, pop it past 30, 40 metres out to the wing-back midfielder who comes along. But a lot of times the ball is going back, it's being static, it's going sideways, and you've lost that flow into the forward line where you're at your most dangerous, you know. So teams have to be careful, and that's where I don't know, like, come the summer, they'll be a team, I don't know who it will come up with something different. And to be honest with you, that's a team that could affect the championship. Look, at the moment, we all feel, I don't know if Paul feels the same, but I feel Limerick would be the favourites for the championship, and they're so used to playing a certain way. But I think a team will have to come up with something a bit different to try and match them and beat them, you know. And I think if everyone's playing the same way, it's going to start getting boring, you know. And I feel at times you're passing that ball to a cornerback, you know where he's going to put it, you roughly know what's going to happen then. Good defenders will know where that ball is going to go from there, and good attacking half hours of midfielders will really stop that, you know. So I think, look, the game obviously, teams will change their style, they have to, because not everyone can do the same thing. I think that's probably one of the things I find watching rugby over the last few years. Nearly everyone's doing the same thing, and at times you're kind of watching, you're kind of going, jeez, I'm kind of sick of this, you know. Maybe that's just me. I don't know.
Yeah, no, but I do take your point. Like, I mean, Limerick and Cork had a very distinctive style. Now Limerick get kind of that short hand short stick pass running game. Everyone is kind of doing it now. And I remember when Donegal won the All-Ireland in football, Paul, everybody played the defensive game. Yeah. I love when there's a clash of styles, especially talking on a Thursday, wondering, you know, what they're going to do to counteract each style. There's a lot of similarities between practically all of the teams now.
Yeah, but I think it's just a natural kind of, not to get all philosophical, but it's kind of an evolution in hurling, really. Like, if you look back in around, let's say, the late 2000s and the early 2000s, it was about big physical teams and teams hitting each other hard and all this. And then suddenly kind of Clare came in 2013, and there were fast moving players, and people were saying, well, this is it, this is the new game, it's in, and it won't change.
Yeah.
And then it kind of drifted back again, where it went, you know, big physical teams came back in, and you had Galways and Limericks. It's just a kind of a thing, like Ken was saying, it's one team will come along that will do something that will counteract the system, and they'll win. And then every other team will go, well, actually, we should be doing that now because that's what's winning matches.
Yeah.
And then it'll just happen again. Someone will go, actually, do you know what we have to do here? Yeah. We have to do something to counteract this. And it just seems to come along because no one style is ever just going to be, that's it. They figured it out and it's done. Someone will counteract that and then it'll go, oh, actually, now it's gone this way again. So I think if we're sitting here in 10 years' time, we'll have seen a few different styles and Ken is right, someone will come along and they'll do something different and they'll possibly win an All-Ireland or have great effectiveness of it on the pitch and get good results. And teams will look at it and go, geez, do you know what? We actually have to do that as well. Like the sweeper's the same. Some teams adopted it because it was working for some teams, but then some teams didn't. So I think generally, you will just see an evolution of, you know, teams will bring something in. At the moment, it's short, it's precise passing. To be honest, I think that will stay in the game because if you can stick a ball to a lad's hand and hold possession, you hear the traditionalists give out that, oh, there's no one pulling on balls anymore. Yeah, because the ball will probably go anywhere. Okay, we saw Kieran Doyle's point, that's an exception. But we just see these things creeping through games where, look, a team will come along, they'll counteract it, and everyone will think that's going to be the new game. Well, it won't be. It'll disappear after a while.
Yeah, but even I think, as you said, Paul, I think that the pop 30-yard, 40-yard pass at pace going forward, I think it's lovely. I think it's lovely to watch. Yeah. I honestly think, I think Cork got a goal in the first half yesterday. It was unreal.
Yeah.
It was moving at pace, all moving forward. To me, that's lovely, Horan. That's actually, you'd be trying to implement that in your drills or different things. Your young lads getting the ball in the hand, moving at pace, moving forward. Like, I'm finished, what am I finished? 10, 11 years now. Oh, Bryce, I would think that's lovely hurling to watch, you know. So I think that, as Paul said, every team will evolve to a certain style. And I think that's what probably will need to happen. I think it'll need to happen this summer by one or two teams to put it up and match Limerick, you know.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I mean, you'd like to see a bit of a variation. The running game is nice, but both teams playing a running game, like even for me watching it, I'd be like, come on, just stick one down. Stick one down there into the melting pot. But I'm the same in football. I'm a traditionalist. I think a good long ball in football, like, you know, into Donaghy, a layoff. I like that old kind of, call it old fashioned now, but that's the way I like to watch, and I'd be shouting for it sometimes, even in the football. Austin Gleeson, Ken, geez, he was up to all his tricks yesterday. There was a lovely little pickup followed by a pint. He took a lovely sideline to McNulty for a pint, a beautiful crossfield ball to the edge of the D to Callum Lyons. I think he missed it. He didn't have a great day at the office. He got 5 from play. He's following on from last year, which is great news for Waterford.
No, exactly. And I think, look, we can't underestimate, say, his performance in the semi-final last year and against Kilkenny, especially in the second half. His performance in the final. He's probably Waterford's best player in the Ireland final. And I think, unbeknownst to himself, probably, and deep down, I think the 2017 final probably affected him. He was obviously disappointed with that. It didn't go his way. It wasn't his best performance in that final. And that, I think, affected him maybe for a year or two. But I think last year he had grown confidence from his performances in the last couple of games of them massive matches. You know, I think he's had a growing on and building on from that. I've seen him up on Mount Sinai there. He trained away himself. He's in good shape still. He's in great shape. You see the work he's putting in on his own and on the pitch, you know. So I think he's in a good place at the moment, and we need him because, look, he's a marquee forward for us. He's a marquee player. He can play anywhere, really. And we'd need him getting his 5-6 points and play, being involved in a lot of stuff. His work rate was huge yesterday as well. So we do need that because outside of himself and Stephen Bennett, have we the unbelievable forwards. And I think that's where we'll have to probably unearth one or two more to go at it hard again this year and really build on from where we were last year, you know. But his performance was class. And look, he there's no better striker of the ball than him. And when he's clued in and when he's tuned in, he's a fantastic player. As I said, I think he's in a good place. And I remember finishing different years and Paul would tell you after playing well, you can't wait for the following year. And it was only 5-6 months ago. It wasn't like it was 12 months ago, you know, lad. Yeah. So I think he's in a good place, but we do need him. He's such a big player. He's such a kind of talisman. When he plays well, the team plays well, you know. So look, he need to grow on it. He need to build on it. It's only the first game, but it was a good start for him, in all fairness. Yeah,
it definitely was. One thing, Ken, about Waterford, and listen, we're reading nothing into these games because, like we said, it's the first game of the year. It's a pre-season game, pretty much. But you would only have been missing Desi Hutchinson, Kevin Moran and Jamie Barron yesterday. You know, you probably would have been at more full strength than a lot of the teams that took the field.
Yeah, I think that, I'd be honest, and that's what we got from, I suppose, Liam's team last year was their effort, their discipline, their their whole hunger, their just their pure desire to win matches was brilliant. And you mightn't have that so far yet with only 2.5 weeks done, no matter what you've done individually, you know. So I think we will see a different Walker come to the championship. And I think I think yesterday's match was probably more important for Cork. I think they had to perform well down in Parky Keeve. They had to perform to show that, look, the last couple of years that's behind them, that they had to build on it, you know. You've done O'Grady back in with Cork. So I think yesterday's performance was more important for Cork. For us, I think you will see gradual improvement every week, and I think you won't see the full extent of a Liam Tal team again until the summer, you know. So I think for that kind of team, we have to play on the edge the whole time. I think we always play with that pure desire and work, and I think that's what got us through a lot of last year with the likes of Hutchison, Austin, and Bennett with their scores, you know. So it's a look, I think I wouldn't worry at all about us. I think the last few goals, as we said, was like the end of the match. And as you said, players were betting, players were on their last legs.
Cork were arguably the most impressive team. Well, Antrim probably the most impressive team. After that, then Cork. Because other than maybe a spell in the second half where Waterford got it back to 6 points, Cork were very impressive, were they, Paul? And like, I mean, yeah. I saw The Rock interviewed afterwards, and he says every league game is hugely important for us. We're not lucky enough to be in a position where we've been challenging for titles the last couple of years, so every game is important to us. He's repeated it, every game is important. Yeah. Like, that's not what we're hearing from Brian Cody, Matty Kenny. You know, they're all like, it's great to get back out. We're not reading too much into it. The Rock is saying, and you could kind of see that with Cork, couldn't you?
Yeah, yeah. No, yeah, 100%. Like, and it seems to be something they're obviously saying in the dressing room, that if The Rock is saying that, it's obviously something they're drilling into the lads in the dressing room. And you know, Ken was even saying it there, that like it probably wasn't hugely important to Waterford yesterday to go out, and it wasn't, because they got to an All-Ireland final last year. You know, they've seen a lot of their players, they're in a good position, whereas the likes of Cork, I suppose, are probably disappointed over maybe the last few years in terms of different results and how they've been playing. So they'd be looking at the league and targeting the league to put together several performances and really compete, and really, I suppose, show that they can not just turn it on for one match and turn it off another match. They wanted to really go well. They were looking sharp, but I think you know, you always play Cork teams, regardless of the time of the year, their touch always kind of seems to be in, and they seem to play a nice brand of hurling, and they look very sharp. So like yesterday, once you saw the space opened up and they started to move the ball around, that's what Cork love doing. They love moving the ball. They'll find the players, they'll move it around you, and once it opens up a small bit, and you know, Waterford were standing back off them, that suited Cork perfectly, and they moved the ball around, which they're brilliant at doing. So they did look well, and you know, it's not to take away from them. They looked well, they were moving well. And look, it's at the same time it's no mean feat to put up that score against Waterford at the moment.
No,
either.
Definitely not. Although the goals were raining in towards the end. Dara Fitzgibbon, yeah. Ken, was like, he's another one down for performance of the weekend, and he had Billy Hennessy partnering in midfield, pretty much a new look midfield, and Fitzgibbon makes them tick, really.
Yeah, look, Fitzgibbon is a great bit of stuff. I think there's great potential in the Cork team. I think we've seen that with some very good Orange Ron teams over the last few years, and Tip bet them in the two finals. Liam Tal was over the two teams, actually, to bet Cork. But there were some very, very classy players there. They have a lot of potential, a lot of pace, a lot of good forwards, you know, and you can't underestimate a good natural forward. And Cork always have that. And that's where I kind of, as The Rock was saying, like, every game is so important to show that they have that steel. And I think that's what at times, I don't want to say not question Cork, but you might say, have they got the steel, like, to really to keep going, to go at teams when the game might be going against them? Because look, let's not forget, in 2018, was it 7 points up against Limerick with 7 or 8 minutes to go in the Ireland semi-final. That game should be now a sight, really. Limerick came back, got the extra time and drove on then, and Limerick happened to look back, you know. So Cork went the opposite way, but they are still a bit of quality. You saw what came on there, Fitzgibbon Shane Kingston.
Yeah.
Like the pace of him, the power of him, I'd rate him as well now. I think he's good with the stuff. I think he definitely have something to offer. He comes on, and that could be a really nice role for him coming on with 10, 15 minutes to go, because he'll destroy a team. He'll take you apart, you know. So they have great potential. But just if Fitzgibbon does make him take midfield, he's a great man for a score. He gets 3 or 4 points out in the left hand of midfield. He can tap them over from 70, 80 yards, you know. So, look, they'll feel happy after Sunday, and you can only get confidence from a result like that, you know. 5-22 in your first game is no mean feat, because we didn't give up too many scores last year.
you know, but no, it's a great start for him.
Yeah, it definitely is. The Kingston goal changed it, because that's when Waterford had just looked like they were maybe mounting a comeback, and that goal just ended it then, and then it turned into a bit of a mess. Ken missed the point of Mark and Kingston. Imagine 60 minutes in, and now I wouldn't say he get on too well with the outlet if he's an impact sub, but like, I mean, you would hate like Aaron Connolly coming on. Yeah. They have great forward. Like, there's no doubt they have great forwards coming in there.
Yeah, yeah.
It's probably not what they need, though, is it, maybe? Or?
Well, it's hard to know. I mean, I think a big point for them is that we're not sitting here talking about Patrick Horgan, like, you know, the fact that other lads around performed, and they do have the players. There's no doubt about it. They absolutely have the players, and it's going back to what we're saying, that they're just looking to get a bit of steel into it and keep putting performances back to back. Any Cork team I've seen over the years, I wouldn't doubt, you know, the caliber of players they have. I suppose it's just a matter of figuring out what they're about and what they're going to do and what they're going to bring to a championship, and really just to say, look, we're going into a Munster championship here against the likes of the All-Ireland champions of Limerick. We're going to be playing the likes of Tipperary and these. If we want to go and win it, we're going to have to beat these teams. 5-22, look, they can only play what's in front of them. They got the goals, and there's lots of teams out there crying out saying we can't find goals as well. So the fact that they went out and played against a good Waterford backline and knocked in 5 goals, first match, you know, they'll be very happy with that. And like that, Kingston came on, he didn't slouch around, he went and grabbed the ball and stuck it in the back of the net and really opened the floodgates, really, from that stage. Yeah. So I think a great indication is, look, we're not sitting here talking about Patrick Horgan, we're talking about the players around him, and that as well will suit Patrick Horgan, that he can go off and hurl his game, because there's defenders now going to be looking at who's coming on, who's playing where. Seamus Harnady, he hit one wide kind of in the first half there, went back, got a ball back into the same position and put it back over the bar. So the likes of that is fairly encouraging. So no, it's a good start for Waterford, and look, they're heading in the right direction, and I'd really like to see Waterford, I suppose, doing well and being very competitive and not, I suppose, turning up to a game and being, I suppose, here and afterwards, that we felt we didn't perform. When Cork performed, they're capable of beating anyone.
They're still probably looking for that bit of aggression. Okay, look, again, it's the first game, I have to keep qualifying this, but like, you've Robbie O'Flynn, you've Luke Meade, you've Seamus Harnady on the half forward line. Like, they need a mad thing like Niall McCarthy that you used to mark centre forward. Like, they need somebody like that, don't they?
I still broke up at the Mountain Hill guy.
he was a mad thing, was he?
No, I tell you, he's a great bit of stuff.
He was.
He was raw, but he was honest, and he's a decent fella. We'd have a go too. We were like, at the moment, we were like, marking each other, we were butting up each other for the whole game, but he's a great bit of stuff. But it was a player you had to be up for the mark, because, as I said, he was aggressive. He'd win his own ball, he'd lay it off. There was no airs of grace about him. He just wanted to work for the team, you know. And look, and that's what probably Cork maybe are lacking, as you're saying. It's a great point, Colin, because to have that big ram raiding centre forward or someone that's going to cause chaos there, you know, it'd be vital for him, you know, because at times you can do all the hurling, but you just need that. Like, Kenny had it over the years, John Hine, you had Martin Comfort. Now, Martin Comfort was a lot more stylish than John Hine, but I marked John Hine before, and a big strong man could just win the ball and lay it off to the lads who would score. And they're hard to find. They are hard to find, and we're probably Waterford is no different either. We're saying it a while. If we had that big, Montgomery played last year, but he's not that real aggressive wing forward, centre forward. You know, it's hard. They're hard to find, and as Paul was saying, every team would love one of them. You know, and Limerick have it in Garrod Hegarty. Yes, no, don't get me wrong, he's hurling, he's top class, but when he started first, he was more of an athletic, more of a ball winner, and he's developed his game as he's developed over the last few years with his confidence. And every team needs that, you know. But I would rate Cork. I think they will have a bit to play in the championship. I really do. I think on their day, and that Cork cockiness kind of comes in, they're hard to stop. They're hard to stop, you know, because they have hurlers. And look, in all fairness, every team have the hurling. The skill level of the teams now is massive. It's unreal. But Cork seem to have, when they're on their day, as I said, there's something about the Cork team and from that jersey that they have a different style, but things are going well, and they could be there. So they're down for my little kind of dark horse, to be honest with you.
I was reading a stat that only 4 of their players on the panel are over 25. I couldn't believe that, because obviously Christopher Joyce is gone. Yes. Bill Cooper, I don't know, has he gotten rid of, or is he around, or what's his story this year? Aidan Walsh was gotten rid of. Conor Lehan was gotten rid of. I think something like that, Paul, I'm sure sends a message to everybody. And like, Cody was great at that. Nobody's safe on the team. Somebody's going to go. Like, so lads that were maybe going through the motions go, geez, I could find myself off the panel here.
Yeah, I suppose it's something that if you are planning on doing it, it's you know, wouldn't overuse it either, because you're going to be firing players out the door there to make an example, and now suddenly you have no one in front of you. But,
well, you've just got under 21s minors coming in. Cody could do. He got rid of Charlie Carter, for God's sake.
Yeah, look, it's something. Maybe it has had the effect. Maybe that's the effect they were looking for. I don't know. There obviously has been a shake up. You know, obviously a lot of thought has been put into this as well, but yeah. It's probably freed up a few more spaces that maybe lads are looking on going, look, well, if Conor Leahan isn't there or Aidan Welch isn't there, okay, maybe I have a chance. And now you suddenly have three lads running for a jersey, because now maybe that's the encouragement they needed. Yeah, it's a tricky one to try and play with. If that's what you're trying to do, it can backfire on you as well, because you're going to send players out the door that are top quality players and potentially are just going through a bad phase. But whatever they're doing at the moment, it's great to see how they're hurling. Like Ken was saying, it'd be great to see him going well. And like the Bet Limerick in 2019 down below in the Gaelic grounds, they're like, when they get a run on you, they're capable of doing serious things. And when they turn up, if you're not ready for them when they turn up on the day, you know, Cork will get their backs up. They'll go up ahead by 2 or 3 points, and now suddenly it's running away from you, and they love that. That's when they actually put the bit between their teeth. Some teams don't like having the lead; they kind of nearly crumble under it.
Right.
Cork, if anything, they flourish under. So if they can get that lead and go at it, they seem to really just love it. So that's where they, I think, they'll be looking to get. And it sounds silly to say it. Why wouldn't every team like to do it? But Cork really relish being out there to get the backs up, and then it's nearly going back to what we're saying about Niall McCarthy. They'll get in your face then. In 2013, when we played them. They went ahead by a few points. Henry was sent off, and it was kind of coming towards the end of the match. And I remember, I think David Herity came out to take a free, and I think it was Kingston or someone ran across and just slapped the ball away from Herity, and a bit of divilment. But you wouldn't have seen that traditionally, but they had the backs up now, and that's what they'll do. So look, if they get that into their game, they're a very dangerous team.
That's the stereotypical cocky Cork player. Yeah. Isn't it? But like, I mean, yeah. You know, by listening to Donal Logue, that's what he always kind of, and the story with him, Ken, was when you'd be marching around into parade, wouldn't he be, we are Cork, or who's he doing that against? Is that against Kilkenny?
Jeez, I don't know.
I think somebody was saying
Kilkenny, I think, was it? Yeah.
But that's it.
Yeah,
sorry, Ken, just to finish up on Cork, Mark Coleman at 6, I don't know, in my head he's such a brilliant left half back. Is that the future position for him, or is that trying to fit a wing back as a centre back?
Yeah, I think he's a natural wing back, a natural left half back, because I think, to be honest with you, in the modern game, to me, wing back is probably the nicest position on the pitch. You kind of have a free, a lot of teams have a free license to roam. Obviously, look, and that's where the difference is. Maybe to, in our time, if you're centre back or wing back, and a player got 3-4 points off you, you were playing bad no matter what you did. You know, where nowadays a player can get nicked 2 or 3 points off you, and if you get 2 or 3 points and hit a few balls in, you're actually playing a good game as well. So you have a lot of license there to hold. The wing backs are getting good balls, they're getting that pop pass. And if every one of the wing backs, they're all stylish kind of hurlers now. They've left and right. They're playmakers, really. They're the lads that are making everything tick with the forward line. But I think Coleman, if Cork come back with the confidence that they started yesterday, as we keep on saying, it's only the first game and it's pre-season and everything. But I still think Coleman will be back at wing back, because he offers that attacking threat as well, where he can chip in with 2 or 3 points easily in a game. You know, so. Look, I think, to be honest with you, he's a natural hurler. At times, when I think he's so natural and so skillful, I'd really have to shake him at times to say, go at things really a bit faster. Or I think he really takes really too much time on the ball. But that's because I think it's actually really coming too easy for him, you know. But I do think he's a top-class player, and I would really rate him, you know.
Yeah, no, definitely. Kieran Bennett scored some sensational scores from the left half-back position as well yesterday. Another, Jason Ford was man of the match in the Tip Limerick game. It was very hard to find a performance of the weekend from that game. Jason Ford got 12 of the 14 were from frees, and we know he's a good free-taker. One of his points from play was a beautiful one on the run. Seamus Flanagan in that game in the first half was excellent. Ken, Keelan Malloy, 3 points from play, midfield partner of Neil McManus. He's only 22. He looked like a real bit of fire in his belly type player.
Yeah. Great scores. I said Antrimer played very well and played some great hurling. The two wing forwards grabbed some great balls, won some dirty ball and won some good frees. They were up for it. It was a huge game for Antrim, Clare coming up, you know. So they were up for it. But one thing I was impressed with him, and I was impressed last year with him, is the way they played, or their kind of style of hurling. Every one of them can hurl and hurl at pace. They don't, like some teams can come up and you kind of go, they're going to be caught with pace. They're not as fast with their strike, with their movement. with what they have. But Antrim seem to be up to speed fairly fast, you know. And look, there's no, you never get an easy game up there. Let's be honest about it. Any of the home, any of the teams at home is an advantage, obviously. But going up there is a tough place. Obviously, there's no crowd there, but they seemed up for it. The lads in the stand seemed up for it. And that's what you want. Antrim need that. They needed to start well, you know. But, no, some great scores. A lot of movement. They weren't afraid to strike. They got some brilliant scores. Like, my Madison point over, well, the winning score was over 100 metres. A brilliant, brilliant score, you know. So, no, they have potential. And the midfielder, like, he was in the middle of everything. In the middle of everything. And their striking was top class as well, which is for this time of year. But I suppose it is May. We're probably used to seeing the first league game in February, and that might be an issue, but it's not. Like, the players obviously have done so much individually, but no, it was, there's a three or four of the Antrim lads and great performances, you know.
Yeah, excellent from him. I think performance of the weekend has to go to Austin Gleeson, though, for all the little tricks and all the little, that's what performance of the weekend is all about. It's kind of like, this is probably himself and Tony Kelly win a lot of these awards, Paul. So Austin Gleeson, I think performance of the weekend. So we'll leave it there, lads. We've gone well over the hour, and we'll be back next month, or we'll be back on Thursday, and we'll preview the weekend hurling again. So we'll talk to you all then. Good luck.
And when I started running, I suppose I didn't stop. And when I got the chance to go, I said I'd stay going. So I opened up.
We're only the small little fish out there, so we are. And we're trying hard to make it through. But it's hard to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Because I love this county so much, you know. And it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today. Because, like, I'm heartbroken. Let it go.